Gospel of John, chapter 12. John, chapter number 12. We'll start reading in verse number 20, and we'll read down through verse number 26. The Bible said, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, answered them, saying, The hour is come, and that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me," this verse we'll look at tonight, "if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Boy, may the Lord help us to get a hold of those truths right there. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We ask you, dear Lord, that the Word of God would come alive to us and us unto the Word. We pray, dear Father, that you would speak undeservingly to our hearts. But Lord, it's not just undeserving, but it's so needed that you speak to us. Even Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And Lord, we ask you, dear Father, that you'd speak to us, challenge us, stir us as your people. Lord, we are living in wicked days, perilous times for sure. But Lord, that's no excuse for us to be slack, slothful. Blaming the circumstances of the day for our lack of spirituality and our lack of service. Lord, I pray you help us to desire to be like our Savior, who became a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Made himself of no reputation. Lord, help us to be like him, selfless, but yet serving the Father. We pray, Lord, your will would be done. Forgive us, dear Lord, of our sin. Those that would be, Lord, watching through live stream, would ask the service tonight, God would speak to their heart. Those that are serving, they would be supported. They would be encouraged to know that it is the right thing to do, is to serve our God. Lord, our churches today are failing. I'm failing. I believe everyone is failing to some degree in our service of the Most High God. And Lord, we pray that you'll help it to be refreshed again in our hearts, that you use people to carry out your will and your work. And if we won't do it, don't do it, Lord, then your work can go undone. And Lord, we pray that that would weigh heavy upon us. And Lord, one day we'll be held accountable, Lord, for what your will is and what your word says. And Lord, I pray that we'll be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As I was reading these verses and looking at these verses, a couple of things stuck out, but we'll look mostly in verse 26. But I noticed that in verse number 20, these Greeks, these certain Greeks, had come to the feast, and the Bible shows us what their purpose of coming was. Before they ever got there, their purpose was clear. They were coming to worship. They were coming to worship. Now, they were Greeks. That is, they were Gentiles. And really, Jesus hadn't died yet, so they were still under the law. So Greeks largely were rejects. Gentiles were rejects. But as they come to the feast to worship, and then you come into verse number 21, and it just adds to that, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I've preached in pulpits that had that statement on the pulpit, where whoever's preaching, whoever's singing, whoever's behind the pulpit can look down and see that statement, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Every time we come to church, that ought to be our motive. Come to worship, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." We want to see Jesus in the singing. We want to see Jesus in the Sunday school hour. We want to see Jesus in the preaching. We want to see Jesus in the testifying and the everything that's done. The desire is that we see the Lord. So they come up to worship, and then the Bible said they wanted to see Jesus. You can't separate those two. If you come to church and it's not in your heart, "Oh, I want to see Jesus today by faith. I want to see him in the scriptures. I want to see him in the service. I want to see him in the singing. I want to see him in the saints of God. I want to see him in the preaching. I want to see him." It's unlikely that you've come to worship. Amen. If you've come to see him, then it's likely that you've come to worship. And that's why we come. This is the house of God. This is our purpose of being here. This is not a place for showmanship. This is not a place for performances. This is not a place of entertainment. This is the house of God. This is a place where we come, and before we ever arrive, we ought to know that our attitude and our desire for going to church is to worship God. Now, I don't know how that convicts you, but that convicts me, because I wonder how many times I go to church before I ever leave my house that worship is on my mind. Desiring to worship God is on my mind. Desiring to see Jesus in verse 21. "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And then, of course, the word was relayed to Jesus in verse 22. And then Jesus says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." His purpose for being here was fulfilled. Jesus stayed focused his whole time. The whole time he was here, from start at the manger all the way through, he was focused. The persecution didn't get him out of focus. The hatred, calling him names, lying on him, did not get him out of focus. He stayed focused. The Bible says on one occasion that he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He's using that terminology that my sights are set, my purpose is sure, and I'm not going to let anything detour me or get me off course. And may God help us to be that focused in our life, that our purpose, and all of us do have a purpose. Most people don't know what that purpose is. Most people don't know what that reason is. God saves everybody for a reason. And we're not talking about to keep you out of hell. That's a fringe benefit and a glorious one and a big one at that. Hallelujah. And we ought to be praising the Lord tonight as believers that we are not going to hell. We ought to be thankful tonight. But our purpose, the main objective for our being saved, is to serve God, to honor God, to worship God. And so we find the emphasis here in verse number 25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him with my Father honor." And so I want to just deal with that statement, "if any man serve me." But I want to, before I start dealing with that, I want to focus our a connection, or at least point out a connection, between seeing Jesus in verse 21 and serving Jesus in verse 26. Amen. The reason a lot of people are not really fired up about serving the Lord is that they've not seen the Lord. Now, we're not talking about with the physical eyes. If somebody tells me that Jesus stood at your bedside, I probably would say that you probably ate something before you went to bed that's causing you to hallucinate. But I believe he shows up in the scripture. He shows up in your spirit and your mind and in your mind and your thoughts and the Spirit of God working in you. In fact, the word see there in verse number 21 means to turn the eyes, the mind, and the attention to. Turn your attention to. Well, Brother Aaron, when we think about turning our attention to, our eyes to, our minds to, that also would imply that we're turning our eyes, our mind, and our attention away from other things. That's our problem tonight, I believe, largely, is that we're not seeing Jesus is because we're unwilling to turn our attention and our focus away from other things. I believe that. Amen. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12, there's all kinds of scripture that talks about looking unto Jesus or beholding Jesus. And that scripture in Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that word looking unto Jesus is not a glance, but rather it means a gaze, a stare. You know, a glance at something, you may make eye contact with that object, but your mind may not even see it. Sometimes when I'm preaching and I'm focused on my preaching, I'm focused on what I just said, what I'm saying, what I'm getting ready to say, and it takes the Lord to help me with all that. And I may look right at you. I may look straight at you while I'm preaching and be completely unaware that I'm looking at you. I've had people to say, preacher, did you see me do this? Did you see me get up? Did you see me sleep? Did you see me whatever? And I said, no, I didn't. I may have looked right at you, you know, but I want to be focused on what I'm doing to where I'm not distracted. Amen, that's right. So seeing Jesus, there's no need to talk about verse 26 if we've not come through verse number 20, our desire to worship and desire to see the Lord. And I promise you, if you see me, it's not hard to get over. But if you see the Lord, thank God you'll never get over that. It'll mark your heart. It'll do a work in your life that you will never get over. Amen. If you realize and with the Spirit of God and the eye of faith and the Scriptures, you see that Calvary and the sufferings of the cross was for you. Oh my, it'll do something for you. Seeing Jesus leads to serving Jesus. But I've noticed this, and I'll deal with this in just a moment. But in verse number 25, he that loveth his life, I'm going to just stop right there for a second. He that loveth his life, and it goes on to say in that verse, in this world. That is the self life. If you love your self life, your earthly life, look what it says. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So he's showing us there the comparison between your earthly life, which you will love. No man yet ever hateth his own life, Ephesians says. Amen. You don't have to tell somebody to take care of yourself. They're going to do that. They might have to step on you to do it. They may have to. Amen. Old number one didn't get to be old number one by accident. And so we find in verse 25, the reason I'm pointing this out is that this is a great hindrance of both seeing and serving the Lord. is that you love your life. Amen. A person that loves their own earthly self life, you can't do much with them spiritually. You can preach to them, but they won't ever make a move because they love their life. If you're going to be spiritual, amen, if you're going to be spiritual and serving and seeing the Lord and desiring to worship Him, that self-life has to go down on the list of importance. That self-life. Amen. In fact, it gets real strong in verse 24. This is talking about our Lord, where He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Life comes out of death. Dying to self. Dying in the area of loving yourself to the point that you serve yourself. Whatever you love, you're going to serve. If you love self, you're going to serve self. You're going to be self-serving. And amen. And self is going to be the big emphasis in your life. And I want to tell you, nothing is more detrimental to spirituality than selfishness, than self-centeredness, than self-importance, self-prominence. It's all about me. Amen. And Brother Ivan had mentioned earlier about the anger issues. The majority of the time, and he even went on to explain some of that, the majority of the time where there's anger issues, that is seated and deeply seated in selfishness. Well, he even mentioned it when things didn't go my way, when I didn't get what I want. And you don't have to teach a child to be selfish. They come into this world loving old number one. And when they want to eat, they don't care what kind of a racket or ruckus, they're going to cause some a scene. And they don't care where you're at. They don't get embarrassed. How many knows that children do not get embarrassed? Mom and daddy can crawl in a hole. Amen. Wish they could mash a button and disappear, but that baby will scream its lungs out. It don't care who's looking, who's listening, who's critical, who's fussing. It don't make no difference. Why? They're being driven with a desire, I want what I want. How many parents can have seen that? And we thank the Lord, amen, when they get older and grow out of that. Can you imagine a teenager that still had that same attitude, that same, I want all the attention and it's all about me. I don't care what y'all doing. I want you to give full attention to me, whether you sleep or not. It don't make no difference. Well, I'm glad they grow out of that. Thank God for that. There wouldn't be any parents in here if they didn't grow out of that. There probably wouldn't be any kids in here if they didn't grow out of that. Say amen right there. Yeah. A famous saying of most mamas is, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Amen, that's right. And my mama could have, but she didn't weigh that much. But now she told me, I'll take care of business, whatever I have to do, whatever I have to put in my hands to equal the score, we'll do so. And I've been on the receiving end of that some few times. And yeah, amen. But selfish. But anyway, that self-loving life, I just wanted to point that out. That is one of the greatest hindrances to seeing the Lord. And how many of us, this is so simple. We come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. And we sit through the whole service. And there's good gospel scriptural singing, preaching, you know, testifying. But you get in your car and you did not see the Lord in anything. You didn't see Him in a song. Nothing spoke to you in a song. Usually you can tell if you see the Lord if something spoke to you. If the Lord didn't speak to you, you probably didn't see Him. Amen. If He didn't speak to you, He didn't have your attention. He didn't have your attention. Amen. And so, anyway, we find here in verse 28 or 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. In other words, it will come to an end and you will have nothing to show for it. There will be no fruit. There'll be nothing that will grow from it. There'll be nothing in glory from it. Because if you love your life, you're going to lose it. There's a day that it's going to be buried and your life will be over and you've influenced nobody, you've helped nobody, you've served not the Savior, He's not got anything accomplished through your life, there'll be no rewards, there'll be no fruit. But verse 24 says that if that corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it dies, the Bible says, it bringeth forth much fruit. The need of our churches today is to die to self. Die out to ourself and borrow the prayer of our Savior. Not my will, but thy will be done. God help us, amen. May the Lord stir us up about the serving of Him and seeing Him. Look in verse 26. Let me give you these few things to just write down if you'd like to. I didn't finish giving you the definition of that word see. I told you to turn the eyes, the mind, the attention to or toward. It also means to observe, to behold, to know, to perceive. And may God help us to desire to see the Lord and to worship Him. But verse 26, if any man serve me, that's said twice in this one verse. And he also said in the middle part of the verse, that where I am, there shall also my servant be. I just saw something right there. My servant. Another hindrance to serving is who owns you. You won't serve the Savior until you view the fact that I am no longer my own, that I belong to Him, I am His property, I am His possession, I have resigned ownership in my life over to Him. Now, I want to tell you, friend, revival would break out immediately if we would live like He owns us. Amen. If He owns me, I am His servant. My is a word of possession, showing possession. Amen. My servant. If I live that way, then I will be obedient to what He wants done. I won't argue with Him. I won't fuss with Him. Whatever He says to do or to not do, to start or to stop, whatever it is, I will be, yes, Lord. I'll agree with you. Yes, Lord. I'm your servant, which means you are my master. You're the one in charge. Now, most people, and I mean this is elementary preaching, but most people come to church. They come to church and they know in their heart, even if they are saved, that God only has part of them. You know that's right. I believe our lives reveal that. Amen. Our lives reveal that God only has pieces and parts. Only those areas of our life that we let Him have. What we let Him have, He's the one that died. He's the one that paid the redemption price. He redeemed us. Amen. We've been bought with a price. Let us not be the servants of men. And so we find here in verse 26, the first thing I want to point out is the servant's choice of desire. The servant's choice of desire is found in that word, if any man serve me. If any man, the word if is a word that identifies a choice. The word if any man means whoever, whomsoever. Serving God is not just a preacher thing or a deacon thing or a teacher thing or a few other place, a positional things. It is a believer thing. If any man, If any man, it's a choice. You can if you want to. There's got to be that desire. If you want to see where you are spiritually, look at your desires. When your spiritual life starts going off track, it's going to show up in your desires first thing. Before it's ever even evident outwardly, it's going to show up in your desires, and your desires are inward, and you will be aware of your inward desires or the lack thereof. Amen. The servant's choice of desire, if any man serve me. Any man is an all-inclusive term. If any man serve me, if any man's going to choose with a desire to be my servant, my attendant, to wait upon me. Amen. It has a lot to in similarity to when you have a waiter or waitress at the table and they're there to meet your needs, to ask you continually, are you okay? And do you need anything? And what would happen if we did that before the Lord constantly and frequently? Lord, do you need anything? What do you want out of me? And how can I serve you today? And is there anything specific that you want me to do today? Is there something in my life that's being dishonorable or displeasing? Boy, don't you know that would help us? No doubt. So that's number one, the servant's choice of desire. Number two, I want to talk about the servant's course that's demanded. Look, if you will, in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. So there is the servant's course that is demanded. Let him follow me. Amen. And that word follow means to accompany. And when you accompany, I mean, everybody knows what that means. Wherever Jesus is, you are. The direction he's going in, you're going in. Amen. Oh my, may the Lord help us with that. The servant's course that is demanded. And this word follow doesn't just mean accompany, to side with. It also means to imitate. It means to do what I do, to love what I love, to hate what I hate, become one with me. That's what the word follow means. And oh my goodness, isn't that word numerously used in the New Testament? My sheep follow me. John 10, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That is, they accompany me. They are in the way with me. They imitate me. They do what I do. They go where I go. They love what I love. We'd have revival if we desired tonight to become one with the Savior. And I believe, don't you think that is the objective of the Holy Spirit? Don't you think that's what His desire is to want? Because when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. I mean, there's no question about that. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Romans 8, verse 9. And so with the Holy Spirit, when He moves in, He desires, Brother Frankie, to conform us, to begin a work on us, to bring us into conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is the servant's choice of desire. If any man serve me, you can serve him if you want to. I've got a problem with how many people today that claim to be saved and there seems to be no evidence of any desire to serve the Lord. And then secondly, we done looked at this too, the servant's course, which is demanded, follow me. That's in the present tense. Don't do no good for you to say, well, preacher, I used to, preacher. Man, I remember back when I did. No, this word follow is in the present tense. That is, it's to be done now. Right now, today, each step I take in the present moment. It's in the active voice, which means the subject is the doer of the action. This is not what's done to you. It's what you choose to do. Amen? And it is also, I'll give you this and we'll move on. It is also in the imperative mood, which expresses a command to the hearer to carry out or to perform a certain action based on the authority of the one saying it. Who is it that's saying here that we're to follow him? Jesus. So there is the servant's course that is demanded. Number three. I see also in this verse of scripture the servant's companionship of delight. The servant's companionship of delight. Look at that verse. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. What companionship, praise God. I mean, if you choose to serve the Lord, it is likely that there's going to be people that will walk out of your life. I mean, that's just the way it is. If they can't help you, if they can't be a part of your spiritual journey, a lot of times God will let them just kind of walk away, walk out of your life. Amen? But don't give up, because the one that is most important will never walk out of your life. Thank God. Aren't you glad of that promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us? That where I am, he said, there. Where and there. Where I am, there shall my servant be. Thank God for the companionship of the Lord. Brother Carroll, I just thought just now about John on the Isle of Patmos. Exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He didn't have a friend on the whole island. He did not have a friend. Everybody on that island was a foe. But he got there, and chapter 1 tells us that he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Woo! And guess who showed up on the Isle of Patmos without getting permission, without getting governmental grants to go and show up there? He showed up where his servant was at. Amen. And the result of that is we have the book of Revelations. So there is the servant's companionship of delight. Well, I like that myself. And listen, think about that. If he's ever with me, where he is, his servant will be, then that means that he is involved in my circumstances. That means that wherever I am, whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm dealing with, whatever hardship, whatever doctor's report, whatever darkness, whatever difficulty, whatever battle, whatever burden, guess who's in there with me? My Savior. Praise God. I like that. I'm drawing strength from that. And last, number four, we find in this verse the servant's compensation that is divine. Oh, yes. Look at the verse. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Here comes that compensation that is divine. If any man serve me, him, not them, but it's personal, him will my Father honor. Oh, a lot of people serve based on who they want to honor them. You know the truth behind popularity is that you do what you do, you change what you change, you dress the way you dress, whatever that list could go on and on. You're doing that so that you can be honored by man, by people, by your peers, by friends. Popularity very seldom has any spirituality to it, because popularity is all people focus. It's a people focus. If I'm wanting to be popular, that means I'm wanting you to notice me. But if I'm wanting to be spiritual, that means I want the Lord to notice me. I want Him to be watching. Thank God, hallelujah. Boy, don't we have a good example of that in Acts chapter 7? Don't we have that when Stephen, who was faithful to preach the word of God and was hated, despised, and rejected, and even ultimately stoned because of being faithful, a faithful servant to the Lord. But as he was being stoned, the Bible says, and he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Amen. We're talking about who's noticing you. That critical crowd that was throwing the stones, they were noticing what he preached and rejected it. And they amen. You ought to read it when you get home, how they treated the man of God. But oh, he kept his focus and his gaze upon the Lord. Amen. You've heard me preach that here, being knocked down or kneeling down. You remember that? I've preached that all over the country about it. And my goodness, how God has used that thought to help people. That though I may be being stoned, and amen, Stephen wasn't looking at the rock throwers. Stephen's focus was not on those that were criticizing and gnashing on him with their teeth, and those that had thrown him out and stomped on him, and none of that. He wasn't looking at that crowd. He was focused on the Son of God and the glory of the future world. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said they didn't stone him. They just rocked him to sleep. Praise God. Amen. But he died, friend, because under the very observation of Jesus Christ. Who do you want to notice you? Who do you want to notice you? What are you doing in your life? And the motive behind it is, I want him or her to notice me. Amen. Now, I know that it's normal to an extent, and there needs to be a limit on it, but it's normal for young people to want to do the best they can to dress nice and try to be clean and take a bath once a month at least, because they're wanting to get married one of these days. They're wanting a family one day. They're wanting a mate. Amen, isn't that right? And there's nothing wrong with doing things within boundaries to be attractive. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Within boundaries. I don't believe you ought to go to excess. Go and start having plastic surgery and removing things and adding things and all for the purpose of trying to get old John Henry over yonder. I hope ain't no John Henry's here. To notice me. If you walk the dog to get them, what dog are you going to walk to keep them? Amen. The fear of man bringeth a snare. I mean, if you live your whole life, if I want their approval, I want their number, I want them to text me, I want their notice. Listen, that's bondage. Amen. When Adam, I might as well preach right there a minute. When Adam was created of God, God put him in the place of spiritual habitat in the garden. He was where God wanted him to be. He was what God wanted him to be before the woman ever showed up. And he was working too, mind you. He was keeping the garden before Eve ever showed up. And you know what, Brother Preston? When Adam was being where God wanted him to be and being what God wanted him to be and in fellowship with God and walking with God in the garden, then, amen, and busy doing what God wanted him to do, then God brought the woman to him. The advice to come through that to all of you that are single is be what God wants you to be where God wants you to be doing what God wants you to be doing. Let that be your focus, and God will bring the mate to you. Say amen right there. But when you go out on a search, amen, you start going out on a search and you start hunting and looking, amen, and turning in resumes and filling out applications and contracts and all that stuff. And it's going to cost this much to get me. You fixing to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble, amen. That's right. I mean, I was just being what God wanted me to be. I was being where God wanted me to be. I was doing what God wanted me to do. I was preaching a tent meeting in Newport of all places on God's earth that needed preaching. And guess who showed up? Guess whose church was back in the meeting? Amen. You'll look around one day and there they'll be. That's right. And you may already have other plans. You may already have another on the side. You may already have a ring, an engagement going on and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, there she is. And then here we are. 33 years. Who would have thought without divorce or murder? 33 years. Tell me there isn't a God, amen. Amen. But thank God, listen, don't have this attitude, but what's in it for me, preacher? Oh, I've given my all to Christ. And if you're not careful, you'll look around like the disciples did on one occasion. They looked around and they'd give up houses and they'd give up lands and they'd give up a lot of privileges. And they had that mentality. What's in it for me? Look at what it's cost me to be a disciple of the Lord. And God said, you may have give that up. You may have give all that up. And you may count that off as a loss. But I want you to know that I will reward you 100-fold. Thank God. I want to end the message tonight by just saying to myself and to preach to you and anybody that's watching, serve God. It will be worth it in this life as well as in the life to come. Oh, my soul. I've been preaching now for 38 and a half years, and I want to tell you I don't regret it. I'm glad I surrendered. I'm glad. Thank God for the thousands upon thousands of times that I've stood and preach to people. Amen. I don't know where I could have went in the business world. I don't know where I could have went and how much money I would have made and all of that stuff. But I want to tell you, Brother Ben, I don't have no regrets of going and preaching and just letting God take care of me. Amen. That's right. Thank God that's right. Amen. And when God sent me to Rogersville, amen, that's right. You've heard me say it. I said, I don't want to know nothing about the compensation or what you can do or what you can't do. I want to know, does God want me in Rogersville? Now, none of you business people would have done that on a business job. Brother Frank, you hang drywall. Would you go hang a house or a store or whatever? Would you go hang a house with these conditions? Well, I'll just trust God to meet my need. Would you, Brother Frankie? No. Most time you know up front before you ever go how much Shelly's going to get. I mean, Sister Shelly's going to get, right? Amen. How many of you would have went to your workplace and would have said, hey, just hire me. We'll work out. We ain't worried about what the pay is. How many would have done that? No, you want to know how much, and I don't blame you. But when it's in the spiritual realm that I'm in, preaching the gospel, they that preach the gospel shall live by the gospel. And I want to tell you, God has been faithful to me. There's been times that I've went to preach in places and I didn't get enough to even take care of my gas. I didn't say a word. And then I'd go to the next place and it may be just a handful of people. And the offering would be more than enough to take up for both of them. I want to tell you, there is a peace that comes in your heart by trusting the Lord. Amen. And listen, I know that my position at any given service could be over. I don't expect that to happen, but it could. I mean, it could. I mean, there's nothing that would stop the people of this church saying, "Preacher, we're done, you're done, see ya." There I am. No money, no nothing. No insurance, nothing, right? But I don't lay awake at night and worry about, "Lord, have mercy. Are they going to run me off or whatever?" I think me preaching this morning showed you I ain't afraid of that. Not saying that braggadociously. I'm talking about if you do run me off, I just say, "Well, that was the Lord's will, and I'll be moving on. I'll preach on the stumps, amen, I'll preach to the hoot owls, and amen, I'll just preach to somebody." Amen. If it's not here, it'll be somewhere. But I'm thankful that God's let me preach here for these many years. And I bless His name for it. And y'all don't know no better, so you just keep coming. Amen. And I try to preach to you. Amen. Why, I love you. But I don't know how I'm going around the world to deal with all that. But I'm just simply wanting to say tonight, it's worth it. It's worth it to serve the Lord. It's worth it, thank God, to be a servant of the Most High God, because God said that if you will serve Him, God said if you will serve Him, Him will my Father. Now, who's He talking about? Brother Chuck, who's He talking about when He said my Father? He's talking about God, above which there is no other. Amen. We're talking about the eternal God that spoke it all into existence by the word of His power. We're talking about God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and owns the hills and the red worms and the night crawlers in the hills. Amen. He owns it all. He owns it all. Him will my Father honor. Everybody that's saved all the desire to honor, to serve the Lord and for God to honor you at the judgment seat. Not just in this life, but to honor you at the judgment seat. Can you, Brother Ben, you said something about it when you was preaching the other night, I believe it was. Or it may have been in your testimony this morning. About, can you imagine standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ who paid the sin debt? And Brother Ryan, His body is going to be just like it was when they took Him down off the cross. These pictures you see that's been painted of the Lord and drew of the Lord, it's got a little spot of blood here and a little trickle there. That ain't it, brother. Isaiah 53, His visage was marred more than any man when they run Him through that cat of nine tail lashing that would rip the meat off the bones and the entrails would fall out. It would look like someone had been run through a meat grinder. He did that for me. And when we see Him, I believe with all of my heart as Revelation presents it, He will be as a lamb that had been slain. You say, that's going to be a terrible sight. No. It's going to be the most beautiful sight in all of heaven. Amen. Outshining that of the mansions and the street of gold and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be forever reminded that it was that payment, that person, that pardon that purchased my redemption. Hallelujah. But Brother Ben said, can you imagine standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ with nothing to give Him? Can you imagine that, Brother Jeter? No, it's not something that you can't repay. We know that. But to give to him, to honor him. Can you imagine how it would honor him, Miss Caden, when we would, if we have crowns, and there's at least five crowns that are available for us. One of them I don't really want. That's the martyr's crown. Sorry. I'm not as selfless as some of you, but. Dr. J. Harold Smith said he's got all four of them. Of course, he died. You know, he's dead now. But he was such a caliber. He said, I've got four. I know I've got four of the five. And he said, I'm praying every day that God will let me get that fifth one, which was a martyr's crown. But can you imagine standing in front of him, Brother Chuck, there and have nothing? No rewards, no crowns, no nothing to lay at his worthy feet. Him will my Father honor. Here's the desire. Here's what's really behind that. Here's where it really is. We serve God and follow God and try to be what God wants us to be so that we can be honored, so that we can in return honor our Savior and lay at His feet. But there are people in church that matters not one bit to. To have anything to give Him. They're wanting to be saved, and there are going to be people saved that are saved yet so as by fire. They don't have nothing. They have no rewards. They have no crowns. They've done nothing for the Lord. There's going to be people like that. God deliver us from having this attitude of preacher, it don't make no difference to me. Just long as I make it, is that right? Just a cabin in the corner of glory land, that'll be sufficient. Are you serious? Who in the world wants a cabin in glory land anyhow? I don't care. I've heard them say, I don't matter, you know. And you can go in some of these churches and sing those songs. There's songs all about that stuff. Ain't none of it scriptural. Standing on Jordan's stormy banks and casting a wishful eye. That ain't a lick of scripture, that. Just give me, just preach as long as I make it. Praise God. Just a tent. Lord, that'll be fine, a tent. A tent or a hut, why should I care? Listen, this is not selfish. I want God to honor me. That's not a prideful statement. I want God to honor me. Listen, the world want people that are carnal, they want the world to honor them. That's right. That's the basis of carnality, is that you want the world to notice you, you want the world to approve you, and you want to please the world, amen, and you're wanting the world to honor you. Why? So that you can in turn honor the world. But that's not me, buddy. I want the Lord to honor, amen, I want to give God something to honor. I want to give him something to honor. How you do that? By serving him, by honoring him, following him, being like him. And I want to give him something to honor. And I want one day to be able to have something to honor him with. That's my desire. That'll keep you going when you go through a hard time, when your back's against the wall and you don't know how you're going to make it. That'll keep you going. Is, Lord, I don't want to lose my rewards. I don't want to lose my crowns. I want to have something to honor you with. My. The servant's compensation that is divine. Amen. He said, my servant will be honored. And that word honor means to value or to prize. God said, I will put value on you. I'll prize you. Amen. May the Lord help us. Thank God. Boy, that verse spoke to me, still speaking to me. May God send a revival of servitude. in our church of wanting to serve God. And pray this. We ought to pray, Lord, what will you have me to do? What do you want me to do? What's your will for my life? Where do you want me to go? Well, I'm willing to serve, Lord. I'm willing to serve as long as it's within driving distance of mama. That may happen, but then that may not happen. Lord, I want to serve you. I'll serve you, Lord, as long as it's convenient. As long as you send me to a place that's not too hot. As long as you send me to a place that is not dangerous. You know what you're doing? You're telling God how and where and when you're going to serve. I would have never chosen to come to Rogersville. I'm telling you, this is home. Amen. God put me here. Amen. And I've been content with that. Of course, I got it settled that was the case. I got it settled in my heart that was God's will before I ever made the move. Amen. And I don't regret it. I don't regret coming to Rogersville. Amen. Why? It's the will of God. It's the will of God for me. And has been. Amen. And I'm praising. Well, amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Ask you, Lord, to help us tonight. Help different ones here. Help different ones watching. Lord, that they would, if they're not serving, that they will be committed to serving you. And they'll get the hands off of their own life and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? I belong to you. You're my master. And Lord, I'm yours. And Lord, your say-so matters. And Lord, I'm submitted to you. I'm subjected to you, Lord, whatever you want. And I want to honor you. I want to please you because you saved me. When no one else could and no one else would, you saved me and changed my life. And I want to honor you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. Wherever, whatever, Lord, that you tell me to do, Father, wherever, Lord, I'll go by your grace. And I mean that. I mean that in my heart, Lord. I don't belong to myself. And I know that wherever you send, there'll be peace. There'll be purpose. There'll be your presence there. Lord, help the young people here tonight who have committed to serving you, Lord, that this message tonight would just scotch that up and strengthen that commitment in their life. And maybe they've got to a place, maybe where they just in their mind was kind of entertaining some thoughts of slackening up and slowing down. But Lord, may the message tonight just scotch them up and say, no, this is no time for slackness, no time to get slow. This is no time for that. It's a time to get busy. Our life will come as a vapor. It'll appear and vanisheth away. And only what we've done for our Savior is going to matter and is going to last.